This may seem like a passage of Scripture that is fitting for, I guess, Halloween is this week. Maybe this is sort of a scary, spooky passage of Scripture. But we're going to read chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and breathe in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. He said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life. I will place you in your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to this passage of Scripture, we thank you for the power of your word to give life to the dead. And Lord, I just thank you this morning that you have given us your word and you have given us the gospel and that it has changed our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would carry it into our world and proclaim your word that others' lives might be touched in the same way. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as I mentioned, it was almost like a scene from a scary movie. I'm not a big horror movie fan, but I've seen a couple in my day. And there the prophet Ezekiel had a vision. He found himself standing in a barren wasteland in the middle of nowhere. It was dreary, desolate. There were no signs of life as far as the eye could see. If you had called out, Hello, is anyone there? You would have been met with deafening silence. It was quiet in an eerie kind of way. Ezekiel could feel the emptiness of that place. It was not at all pleasant. As he looked around, there were human bones scattered along the valley. Like a great battle had been fought there a long time ago. Thousands were slaughtered. The bodies were never buried, but left for the vultures to clean. There were no memorials or markers to commemorate the dead, only piles of dry bones. As the prophet stood in the midst of this huge open grave, he wondered, What am I doing here? Lord, why have you brought me to this place? If it were me, I would have been a little creeped out. Let me out of here now. The Lord spoke in verse 3 and said, Son of man, can these bones live? The obvious answer was no, it's impossible. You can't put the pieces back together again. You can't resuscitate these remains. Even if you had an ambulance full of modern medical equipment and those paddles, you know, to send an electric jolt, it wouldn't have done any good. They were too far gone. But Ezekiel knew better than to doubt God's ability. In verse 4, God commanded the prophet to prophesy over the bones. say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It's kind of an unusual place to preach a sermon. Pastors are given the opportunity to preach in different places. Most of the time I preach here on Sunday mornings, but I've also gone to nursing homes. I enjoy going there once a month to Van Crest or to Bluffton. And sometimes I preach to young people, to youth. A few years ago or several years ago, I got to dress up for Vacation Bible School and teach the lesson. That was fun. I've known people who've preached on street corners or gone into prisons. I've given devotion at the community center before the meal. So we get a chance to preach to lots of different audiences. But most of the time, in fact, all of the time, the audience is very much alive. You have a pulse. You're breathing. You can hear. Maybe I don't see anybody nodding off to sleep. Maybe every once in a while there's an amen in agreement. But Ezekiel is commanded to preach to a pile of dry bones. Not a very lively audience. Not very responsive. But he listens and he obeys. And he begins to preach and things start to happen. He delivers God's word. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. And the bones start to rattle in place. They begin to move all by themselves. The feet walk beside each other. The femurs come and stack on top. The rib cage hovers where it's supposed to be. The shoulder blades. Humerus, is that the... I looked it up this week. The humerus locks into the socket and the phalanges start to wiggle. The skull rolls up the spine and settles on top. And things don't stop there. All of a sudden, tendons grow out of nothing. Arteries appear. Organs form in place. Skin covers the whole thing. And he can see bodies being reassembled before his very eyes. And then God speaks again and says, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. And as Ezekiel spoke, he felt the breeze rush past, and he saw it enter into the mouth of those bodies. And all at once, the eyes opened, and they stood up and moved around, and they came to life. A huge army, maybe thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, alive from the dead. What had been a scene of death and decay became a place of vibrant life, just like that, through the word of the Lord. Now, all this was a vision, but God was communicating something very important to the prophet. He was telling the people that he is the God who brings life from the dead. He's the God who brings hope out of hopeless circumstances. He's the God who makes all things new. And that was a very powerful message for people living in exile. God could bring hope to their hopeless situation. He could bring life from the death they had experienced. And it's a powerful message in our world today, because all around us there are people who are lost and hurting, and broken, and confused, and they need to hear the words of life, the words that heal from the Scriptures. When that message is preached, the Spirit of God does amazing things, bringing life from death. And very briefly this morning, I just want to glance at three ways that God can raise the dead through His Word. And first of all, the passage tells us that God can bring new life to a fallen nation. And that's really what the context of the passage is all about. If we were to back up into chapter 36 and read all of chapter 37, we could see this is all about God raising a fallen nation from the dead. And he talks about restoring the people from Babylon and making Israel a nation again. Verse 11 says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is perished, we are completely cut off. And in Ezekiel's day, the Jewish people had suffered a devastating loss. They were taken from their land, their homes had been destroyed, They had no king. They had no temple. They had no sense of security or safety. They had no place to call their own. There seemed to be no hope that they would ever be restored, that they would ever return or rebuild. In a sense, the nation was very much dead, just like the dry bones Ezekiel saw in his vision. Israel was wiped off the map, scattered among the nations. How would they ever recover? But the vision offered hope. One day God would accomplish something miraculous. Just as he could reassemble those corpses, he could gather the people from the ends of the earth and bring them back together as one nation in their own land. The country was dead, but it would be resurrected by the power of God, not just as a national entity, but as a spiritual people. They would turn to the Lord in repentance and faith and trust in God as their Savior once again. That seemed impossible to Ezekiel. But is it any more difficult than reassembling a valley of dry bones? If you look back at Ezekiel 36, verses 27 and 28 tell us, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. It's a wonderful passage of hope for a people in exile, but it's also hope for us today as well. If the Lord can bring an entire nation back from the grave, he can bring revival in our land. We should pray for God's Spirit to stir in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our community, and across the land. And we must proclaim the message of Christ, trusting the Lord to bring transformation. But there's more here than just a national promise in the passage. Ezekiel's vision also shows us that God can bring new life to our hearts. Look again at verse 14. God says, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life. I'll put my spirit within you, and you'll come to life. The prophet is describing more than a national transformation. He's talking about individual transformation, personal change of life for men and women. God will touch hearts that are cold, unresponsive, hardened, spiritually dead, and he will make them come alive. Those who have no knowledge come to know Christ as Savior. Those who love only themselves come to love the Lord with their heart, soul, mind, strength. Those who've been selfish or angry or complacent surrender their lives to God. And just as breath returned to those bodies in Ezekiel's vision, the Holy Spirit quickens our soul and lights a fire deep within us, like in the song that we sang earlier. He lights a fire burning for the Lord. He humbles us and cleanses us and fills our life with meaning. He makes us new. When the gospel is preached, God does miracles. In the New Testament, we are told in John chapter 5, 24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but he has passed out of death into life. That's a pretty amazing statement that Jesus makes. He says that if you come to believe the message that I've brought to you, if you hear the gospel and respond with faith, and you have gone from a place of death, spiritual death, to a place of life, everlasting life. Inside, something is empty, but I'm going to fill you. Inside, something is broken, but I'm going to heal you. And he fills us with his Spirit, and that changes our lives forever. I love listening to the Gideon testimonies, and there was one that we heard the other night about a similar story about a man who was just really reached the end of the end of his rope. Things had fallen apart. He lost his job. His wife had left him. He thought there was nothing left living for. Nothing was worth staying here on this earth. And so he checked into a hotel. He reached into his luggage and he pulled out a gun. And he was going to write a note. He wanted to write a note to explain why he was doing what he was doing. And as he opened the drawer looking for stationery and a pen, he found the Gideon Testament. And he started to read. And he kept turning the pages, and he couldn't put it down. And God really spoke to his heart and really touched him in a way that just opened his eyes and changed his perspective. And he came to see that he was loved by God, that he could be forgiven, that he could have meaning and purpose to his life, that there was a reason to go on, that there was hope for the future. And as he read, he surrendered his heart to Christ. And his life changed that night, completely changed. He went from death to life, from despair to hope, from darkness to light. And God did a miracle. And maybe you can look back at a time in your life when the message touched your heart and God changed you forever. I pray that you have had that experience, that spiritual awakening. If God can breathe new life into a pile of dry bones, He can breathe new life into you and me. Wherever you are, wherever you've been, Christ can bring you from death to life. He can give you hope. Maybe you felt like there's something missing. Maybe you've sensed an emptiness deep inside, but you don't know how to fill it. Maybe you've been carrying guilt and shame that doesn't go away. Well, hear the words of the Lord and allow Him to bring you back from the dead. He will fill you with His Spirit. He will give your life meaning and purpose. He will quicken your soul and make you into a new creation. Well, Ezekiel's vision also shows us that God can bring new life to our physical bodies. Look at verse 13. God says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people." God says, "I'm going to open your graves. You're going to come back from the dead." I'm sure that for many in the Jewish community in Babylon, they were losing hope. They were a long ways from home. Most of them would never have the opportunity to return. They would never see the temple rebuilt, even though it would be rebuilt. They would never construct new houses, even though maybe their children or grandchildren would go back and make a life in the land. They would never see the beauty of Jerusalem restored. Many of them, most of them, would die in exile. And they heard the promises, but they wondered, what good are God's promises to us? We're going to die here. Well, the prophet showed them God's promises extend beyond this life. He has the power to conquer death and can raise the dead. He will not abandon His people to the grave, but all who place their faith in Him will be raised up to everlasting life. Now, that idea of resurrection is only hinted at in the Old Testament. This is one place where there's a hint of resurrection. The New Testament is full of it, is full of the message of resurrection through Jesus Christ. And we're given a much fuller understanding. It introduces us to the Savior who defeated death through the cross and the empty tomb. And in John 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you put your faith in me, this world, this journey, this life here on this planet, you know, when that comes to an end, that's not going to be the end of you. There is life beyond the grave." The gospel gives us hope for eternity. It tells us we don't have to live in fear, wondering what will happen when we die. We know. We know where we're going. We know our destiny. Scripture shows us that when our time on earth has reached its end, when these mortal bodies grow weak and frail, when we're struck by tragedy or disease, the Lord will be waiting for us in glory. He's the God who raises the dead, and one day He will clothe us in resurrection bodies. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Our passage this morning demonstrates the power of God's Word. When the prophet was preaching to those dry bones, God did something amazing, something he would have never imagined, something he would have never predicted or foreseen. God brought life from death. And he continues to do that work today. That's why it's important for us to hear the gospel with ears of faith and to respond by sharing it with others. When we respond to the gospel, when we believe, when we put our trust in Christ as Savior, he awakens our heart into a life-changing relationship. And then we need to go into this world full of brokenness and sorrow and pain and bring these words of life, these words of hope, that there is a God who loves us, a God who heals, a God who raises the dead, a God who does miracles in people's lives. And we need to bring that message. We're not preaching to dry bones like Ezekiel. We're preaching to men, women, and children. And we have words of life. We can see God do miracles. We can watch God bring those who were lost and make them found, bring them back to life again, just as he's done for us. So let us carry that message to our world. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these verses. We thank you for this passage, and we thank you for this very vivid, very jarring picture that the prophet saw.